mean, we could speak on this for hours, but you can research this information and it lets you know that body language says a lot about someone's interests.
Welcome back, Intimates. Thanks for your support on Patreon, making this 2021 season possible. This podcast is about all things intimate: relationships, love, connection, community, consensual non-monogamy, kink, orgies, lovers, and of course, good old-fashioned sex. I talk with old friends and even meet some new ones. I interview people from all walks of life, from recovered addicts to counselors, sex partners to perfect strangers. I'd like to thank my hosts, the Musqueam First Nation, as this podcast is recorded on their unceded ancestral territory, where I was born, where I work, and where I currently live and play. So settle in for an intimate conversation.
Talking about flirting and creepiness with men can be challenging sometimes. I've literally heard folks say you can't even flirt anymore because there's a risk there could be allegations of sexual harassment. So today I'm going to chat about the difference between flirting and creepiness and talk about some of those negative consequences and more specifically how to avoid them through understanding what flirting is. Spoilers, it's all about the dynamic between two people paying attention to each other, not about what one person is trying to express or communicate to the other. Our guest today is Andre Lazarus, an intimacy and sex coach, a surrogate partner, and a sacred intimate with over 10 years of experience in non-monogamy. His new project is the Open to More: How to Navigate Consensual Non-Monogamy course at comingcloser.com. You can find him at Coming Closer with Andre on social media. Now, let's talk about fragility, defensiveness, and creepiness, and best of all, how to do your best to avoid them and to channel accountability, consent, and nurturance here on Intimate Interactions. Moving back to when we were talking about consent and how important it is to have these conversations, it reminded me of the challenge of trying to explain to young men the difference between flirting and being creepy. Because I think for a lot of young men, they feel like in a post-Me Too world, there's just no space for confident masculinity to go and, you know, flirt. And I said, well, you kind of have to ask who it's for, right? Like, you kind of have to have that sense of, like, am I building rapport with this interaction, or is there a misalignment? Like, is the person feeling uncomfortable? Like, ultimately, flirting is about demonstrating, I think anyway, it's just my opinion, that flirting is about demonstrating that sense of being in sync, that you really are responding to their nonverbal cues, you're responding to their body language, and that's building the sense of trust and rapport, that you will respond to their nonverbal no's and their nonverbal redirects during intimacy, regardless of whether it's penetrative or not, like any kind of sex or intimacy, just so they can feel physically safe.
Yeah.
And when you're being creepy, you're in a space where you're trying to do that, but it's not landing. So there is some misalignment. And instead of building that sense of safety and rapport, you're actually building a confidence that you're not going to be able to do those things. So that's what came through for me when you were talking about these non-penetrative intimacy exercises, is this sense of exploring and listening to each other's bodies and non-verbal cues. And it's even better if you have some verbal conversations as well. And I wanted to throw in there that if you don't feel like a no is going to be respected, it's the same thing as not being able to say no, or very, very close to.
Yes, yes. Well said all around, and thank you for naming that last part. The way that I interact with my personal life, as well as when I'm working with clients, if there's a hesitation, then it's not a fuck yes. And it doesn't mean that that hesitation can't eventually be a yes, but it's taking a moment to say, what is it about this experience that isn't feeling comfortable for me right now? Or what is it about the way that we're about to go into this interaction that I might need a little bit more nurturing or a little bit more holding or care? So if there's a difference between a hesitation of nervousness and it being excited, and a hesitation and nervousness, and it being an unsureness. So your body is going to be one of the greatest tools that will help you create boundaries. If you have not created boundaries, if this is the first time you're hearing about boundaries, like, do some research around boundaries, because just because you've done this same act with the same person 100 different times, if this next time you're not feeling up to it or feeling like very comfortable in it, you don't have to do it. So back to your point around young men kind of like being unsure around what is being able to be flirtatious, vice creepy. You know, it's delicate because every person is going to respond differently. What might be completely creepy to one person might be the absolute amazing turn on for the next. So as we're like speaking to the young men, you know, listening, is as you're going through these experiences of, you know, liking someone, wanting to get to know someone, wanting to go into a more connected space with them, whether it be emotionally, spiritually, physically, that if it doesn't work for one person, don't think that you have to rewrite the playbook on the next person. It's it's listening to what Victor said, which is really attuning to like the body, listening to like the signals of how people are holding themselves, if they're making eye contact, if their body is, you know, turned to you, if it's turned away. All of this you can, I mean, we could speak on this for hours, but you can research this information, and it lets you know that body language says a lot about someone's interest. If their arms are crossed, they might be feeling a little bit guarded or a little bit shy. If they're standing close to you and they touch your arm, in some way they're wanting to know more about you, or they feel comfortable enough that they reached out to touch your arm. That doesn't mean you get to touch them back. You can ask them, but this is a way where you create and start that really beautiful dialogue, that when you're getting into an intimate space with someone and you're having that fear of, is this flirtatious, is this creepy, you can ask a very simple question that might be tough to do, but it's, you know, it's at least transparent. This is something that I'm feeling. I'd really like to do this, or I'd like to, you know, may I touch your arm, or would it be okay if I kissed you, would it be okay if I complimented you on you, how you look today? And now that person can give you the room to say, actually, I'd love a compliment, or, you know, I'm not really in the mood for a compliment. And now you have at least had that conversation, and you can start from a good baseline.
Can I give you an example?
Yeah, please.
So I was on a date with someone who later would become my partner, and she later recounted to me that when we first met, because it was like not a blind date, we'd met on Bumble, and, you know, she'd taken steps to ask me out, and I'd reciprocated. And then when I first saw her in person, one of the first things I said when I approached her, because she had very open body language, she seemed really happy to see me, is I said, can I give you a hug? And it's like a really simple question. Now, typically in Canadian society, it's very uncommon for someone to say no to that question, although of course always say no if you're not feeling it. And I do have friends that will always say no, and sometimes they're like, no, you can keep asking, but I'm just not feeling it today. But it is a really, she literally identified it as like a moment of feeling especially safe with me, because she knew that if I was asking about if it was okay to give her a hug on the first meeting, that I would probably keep asking about important boundaries as we moved through stages of intimacy.
Yeah, that's a great story. And thank you for sharing that. And that makes me think of a story similar, but kind of on the flip side. And this was a beautiful learning experience for myself, which was I'm a hugger. I love touch. That's my number one love language. So there was someone at a party that I was introduced to, and I gave them a hug, and everything seemed fine as far as like the interaction that we had. But then later on, someone told me through the person that they felt really uncomfortable that I hugged them. And this was very surprising to me, because again, being, you know, not having like the knowledge or the wisdom at the time, you know, I'm constantly educating myself, constantly learning, was like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Like, I hug all people. And being educated in that moment, I had two choices. I could have been like, you know, forget that, you know, that person's just weird. Or I could have gone in all the other defensive ways that many people will go when they're being faced with, you know, some form of like criticism, or leaning into it and wondering why and educating yourself. So I decided to lean in and educate myself. And by doing so, I was able to learn more about, as you were talking about, like the other forms of consent conversation, the other forms of boundaries that led me into this work. You only know what you know. And you're given so many tools in the way that you're raised. And sometimes we're not going to get it right. Sometimes we're going to make mistakes. And those are moments where we can learn rather than shutting down and saying that this person doesn't know what they're talking about. It's like, what is it about this experience? Could I have done better and will do better in the future? So similar to your story, only I was the individual who hugged without asking. And that, I'm so happy that that experience took place because it helped to put me into where I am today.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're bringing up this really important piece around fragility and defensiveness that kind of speaks to what I was saying earlier about the importance of knowing your no is going to get heard. It's part of that whole creating a sense of safety, right? And intimacy really flourishes where there is a sense of safety. The other piece I wanted to mention on it was confidence. Again, since we're going into what we would say to younger individuals, regardless of their gender, I feel like asking questions is something that sometimes gets met with frustration when you tell folks to ask questions. They're like, but like, people are going to think I'm a wuss, or they're going to think I'm not confident, or they're going to think I'm insecure. And it's like, that depends on how you ask it, right?
Yeah.
When I asked my later partner, would you like a hug? It was like, it was said with a totally non-committal. There was definitely a bit of eagerness and a little bit of leaning into it that doesn't make it perfectly neutral. And that's important because that can matter. But in the circumstance, because it was a hug, because we'd been flirting online and we were specifically meeting for the purpose of dating, which would likely lead to some sort of intimacy and eventually did, it was not unreasonable, I think, for the situation. But the important thing is when you're asking those questions, to demonstrate confidence, not just so you don't seem insecure, but to demonstrate the confidence that you can also hear a no.
That's powerful. I love that. Confidence that you hear a no. Yeah. Yeah. There's something that came up as you were sharing that is that, you know, you might ask, you know, a million questions and you might feel very confident in all the questions that you're asking and you might be received with a lot of care and love. And then you might ask the next person, do you mind, you know, would you like a hug or may I hug you? And they might look at you like, what kind of question is that? Of course you can hug me. Of course. Like,
right.
That was great. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Just because you had that experience, don't forget all of the learning that you did up to that point, because everyone's going to be different. I'm a hugger. Speaking for myself, I don't need to be asked whether I want a hug because I love touch. So I welcome it. However, if someone's like, can I grab your butt? You know, I would want someone to ask me that rather than going in for, you know, a nice tushy squeeze. Depends how I'm feeling, but ultimately, like, every person's going to be different. So that's why I said earlier, like, just because you've had one interaction that didn't go well or didn't end up the way that you had wished, don't use that as the blueprint of not trying different forms of interaction or different ways of interacting, to include, again, not losing the education that you're continually developing as you grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, I'd much rather be known as someone who's overly consensual and asks when they don't need to ask. So I've definitely had people say, oh, you can always hug me, like blanket consent. I'm like, cool. Also, I have ADHD and I don't have great memory for this type of social interaction, so I may ask you again.
Yeah.
And I find people are typically pretty receptive to that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah. I think we're just about there, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about a lot of stuff this session. We talked about all sorts of consent stuff as well. I wanted to mention, you were talking about the lack of variety in porn, and there are some independent porn producers. One that I like is called A4Chambered Heart, and you can find their stuff at a4chamberedheart.com, all spelled out, no numbers.
Beautiful.
And then for folks that are working with boundaries or trying to learn boundaries, a good way to parse feelings and responsibilities that I've found, especially if you haven't done a lot of CBT, was compassionate communication, or NBC, nonviolent communication. And of course, cognitive behavioral therapy has a lot of great stuff in and around understanding where feelings come from, and that it's not necessarily incidents or specific events that cause feelings, but sort of the thoughts and beliefs about those incidents or actions that lead us to feelings, even though that process happens very quickly.
Yeah.
So it can very much seem like when you do X, I get really jealous. And sometimes there's a lot of stuff happening between the X and the jealousy, and there's a lot of conversation that can be had. It's not always quite as simple as it feels, but it's also important that your brain is able to summarize information and give you those pieces. It's a very adaptive and efficient way to learn about the world. And then the last thing I wanted to mention was the assertiveness workbook, which is Dr. Patterson, I believe, who's out of Changeways in Vancouver. And that focuses on things like passive communication and passive aggressive communication and aggressive communication, and all the ways that those are not as functional as assertive communication, which is focused on showing up and without too much intensity, stating what your feels are, what you want, and then being really comfortable in accepting the outcome and just accepting what you can't control. So assertiveness is really cool stuff. And I'd encourage folks who haven't checked out those resources, including the porn, to go do so.
I've got homework.
And I thought I would be the one with homework. Andre, thank you so much for your time and energy. I've loved having you on the show.
Same. Thank you so much, Victor.
So how did you like it, Intimates? Discuss your ideas with the community at facebook.com/intimatevictor, or tweet me at intimatevictor, or follow my Instagram, you guessed it, at intimatevictor. If you can spare the cost of coffee to help the show keep going, head to patreon.com/victorsalmon. We hugely appreciate your help to continue making intimate conversations for you and yours. If not, you can always help other intimacy nerds find the podcast by leaving us a review anywhere online, especially iTunes. Or you can just tell a friend. The opening music is On Hold For You, made of algorithmically generated notes and chords, and played by an AI-rendered saxophonist. The closing music is Gymnopédie No. 1 by Eric Satie. Both are provided royalty-free, courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Thanks so much for your time, and may your most important relationships be filled with the intimate, rich interactions you crave. Be well.